Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today I have a dilemma. I have these two great Bible texts to preach on, and I can't decide which one. So today we have a sermon with two Bible texts, the Old Testament from 2 Samuel 11 and the New Testament from Luke chapter 7. But what they remind me of is alternative endings. You know, since these DVDs have come out the last few years, you not only get to watch a movie at home, but you have all these different options, you know, and right after you finish the movie, the rights like to push the, you know, the bonus features button and watch some extra things about how they made the movie. But sometimes they have these movies where you see one ending in the movie, but like the director couldn't decide how he really wanted to end it, and so he puts an alternative ending there on the disc, and you get to watch how it might have ended. Well, I would like to think that lives, people's human lives, can have alternative endings as well. And what I think is that it depends on applying the law or the gospel at the right time. Now, I think this is especially a good sermon for Father's Day because fathers need to know how to apply God's law and gospel. It's one of their chief tasks as husbands and fathers. So you fathers, listen up now. But it's good for everyone too. When we're talking about law and gospel, we have to first remember what it is we're talking about. What is the law? And you'll remember that the law, simply stated, is God's command to us. What we should do or what we should not do. It's plain and simple as that. It's God's commands to us. What then is the gospel? Well, that is just the opposite. The gospel is all that God in Jesus Christ has done and is still doing for us. And namely, we think of, well, what that cross up there symbolizes, right? We start there. The gospel is Jesus offering himself in payment for our sins. But it goes on from there to all the good things that Jesus does for us. Now, first of all, the law. The law is not a bad thing. God's law is a good thing. The law keeps the world from destroying itself before the time that Christ comes again. And all cultures have a little bit of God's law. They learn it from just nature and from human reason. All cultures have such rules like don't kill and don't steal other people's stuff. And don't take someone else's spouse or husband or wife and cheat with them. And all cultures vary in their punishments from death for some infractions to no punishment at all. But all cultures observe this kind of what we say natural law. There are rights and wrongs. The other thing the law is noted for is that God's law has this amazing ability to show us a true picture of ourselves from God's perspective. We may say, Joe is a fine man. We may hear that about ourselves and may say, oh, you're such a nice person, you're great, you don't have anything that you need to repent of or do any, you never do any wrong. But if we examine God's law the way Jesus taught us to in the Sermon on the Mount, it shows us our sin. It's like a great big mirror. We look in it, and we see ourselves and we see our sins there, if we let it. And the key is letting the law do its thing, isn't it? Because sometimes the human heart can get so hard. It's like a nut. I used to like those Brazil nuts, you know, when I was a kid. You get them at Christmas time. But if you didn't have the nutcracker, they weren't any good because you weren't going to get them open. And that's the way the human heart is, too. Now, here comes to our scripture text. In the Old Testament, in 2 Samuel, we see that David was like this. David was hard in his heart when he sinned with another man's wife. And so later on, when he found out that she was pregnant, he tried to cover it up. You know how it went. He tried to fool everyone to think that the baby was the husband's. So he called the husband home from his tour of duty in the war. But the husband was such a good soldier, he said, I can't go into my house and into my bed while my officers and my men are out in the field, so we stayed outside. Didn't work. Well, when that didn't work, hard as David was, he arranged to have this man, Uriah was his name, killed for what he had, rather than to admit what David had done. And to top it all off, after the man's funeral, he acted like a benevolent king, and he had that wife, Bathsheba was her name, come and live with him in his house, you know, taking that widow into his care. Wasn't that a nice thing to do after he killed her husband? Now, what do you think? What did David need to hear at this point in his life? Did he need to hear law, or did he need to hear gospel? What do you think? When Nathan, the prophet, comes by, do you think it would do David any good if Nathan started out with the gospel and said, you know, David, God really loves you. In fact, he loves you so much that someday he's going to send a Savior in the future for you. What would have David said? How would he have responded to the gospel at that point in his life when his heart was so hard, even capable of murder to cover up his sin? Well, I can imagine what he might say. He might have said something like, me? I don't need a Savior. I'm king of all Israel. Why don't you tell God to send a Savior over to those Ammonites that we're fighting? After my army's done with them, they're going to need God's help. What does David need? He needs the law, doesn't he? He was hardened to God. But Nathan the prophet had to be real careful about how he applied the law to get through to David's heart. Now, David was a shepherd boy growing up. Everyone knew that. And so Nathan was very smart at this. He tells the story of a poor shepherd and his little sheep. He loved the sheep so much that he had it come in his house and even eat the same food that he ate. He treated it like a kid. And then he had this neighbor who had all this sheep and all this riches. And when the neighbor had some friends over, he didn't take one of his own sheep, but he took the poor man's beloved sheep. Look how David responds. The person who does that deserves to die. And then just a few words needed to be spoken. Nathan's so good. He says, O king, you are the man in the story. You took another man's wife, and you had him killed. You see, the law worked, didn't it? It cut David right to the heart, and he admits his sin. I have sinned before the Lord. The hardness is broken. The law does its work. Now, that's a lot for a king to admit that he's done wrong. Then, and only then, could Nathan apply that gospel to heal King David. And it was very simple. He just said, the Lord has taken away your sin. Friends, I ask you today, what do you need to hear? Do you need to hear God's law? What sins are you holding on to, thinking that God will overlook them because maybe you are a special person? Or because you are so needy, or you are accustomed to living with that sin, and you just don't think you can change? Do you need to hear God's law because of your hardness? Well, we can be thankful sometimes for a strong dose of God's law when it can turn our head from sin to repentance in Christ. But there's another word, too. In our other text, we have that account of the woman who came and anointed Jesus' feet. And the host of the party was also embarrassed that this woman would come and do this to Jesus, and that Jesus would allow himself to be touched by her. Everybody seemed to know she was a sinner. We don't know what she did, but it wasn't good. And so she knelt there, and she was sobbing, and she cried all over his feet. And then she took her hair and she dried his feet. And then, who knows where she got it, she took this expensive perfume and she dumped it on him. Right in front of everybody. Now, what does a person like her need to hear? Law or gospel? What would have happened if Jesus said to her something like this? Hey, I'm very uncomfortable with you doing that. What are people going to think if I let a woman like you touch me in this way? You need to go back home, and you need to try to live a decent life. And then after you've improved yourself, you can come back. And then we can talk about how you might be able to serve me. What might have happened to that woman's heart if he said that to her? Well, this is law, which, no matter how you slice it, says you aren't good enough, or you have sinned, and you are unworthy. And although it's true, and evidently true in her case, the difference between this woman and King David is that from her actions, we can see that she obviously knows that she is a sinner. She's not hard-hearted about it. She's exposed it to everyone through her tears and her service to Christ. She is broken by the law already, so no more needs to be applied to her. But King David, well, he didn't know that when the prophet came to talk to him. King David needed to be turned from his sin, confess it to God, and ask forgiveness. He wasn't there yet, so he received law. But this woman is already aware of her sins, and she is sorry, and she's come to be forgiven. So I ask you now, what does she need? What does she need, law or gospel? You tell me. What's that? The gospel, right. She needs to hear about God's love and forgiveness. You know, this reminds me of Friday. We were with the youth group, and we were out in Springfield, junior high kids, and we're working at a boys' club there, boys and girls' club. And I got to thinking about this. You know, it's kind of like a kid who belongs to a wealthy family, and about time at the end of high school, that last year, they start visiting colleges, right? And that person, that kid would expect her parents, his or her parents, to, you know, take care of the bill for that. They just expect we're going to go to college and we're going to try to get to the best college we can, and mom and dad are going to help me with this. And seeing those kids at the boys' home and our kids there, there's such a difference, you know. Our kids are working there, and those kids there are playing and trying to stay out of trouble in their difficult neighborhood they live in. And I get to think how surprised a poor kid would be from a situation like that if somebody came and said, you're going to college, and we're going to pay for it. You know, they're just thinking, will I get a job out of high school? Will I finish high school? And how thankful would that person be, that kid be, if someone came up and did that for them, when the more wealthy person just merely expects it? And that's what Jesus teaches the guests at the dinner table with a story about the man who canceled the debts. And he said, one guy had a lot of debt, and the other guy had a little debt, and he canceled both. Who would thank him more? Who would be more joyful? And the Pharisee who was holding the party said, well, I suppose the guy who had the bigger debt canceled. The one who is forgiven more, Jesus said, loves more. So what does he say to this woman? Pure gospel. Your sins are forgiven. And my goodness, the guests are so surprised that Jesus would say this to her, because only God forgives sins. But this reveals to us who Jesus really is. Only he can forgive sins, because only he is really God in human form. Only Jesus could forgive sins, because only Jesus has this perfect life to offer God in exchange. Only Jesus can say, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Only Jesus died and rose again for your sins, showing himself to the world and to you as a living miracle, so that you could be cleansed from your sins, and you can be sure that your sins are covered by the blood of the Lamb of God and are removed far from you. Only Jesus can speak to you today through his ministers. Like you just heard in a few minutes ago, when you confessed your sins, you said, I am a poor, miserable sinner. And Jesus said, through your pastor, you are forgiven. And by the stead and the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. Only Jesus can do things like these. So, law or gospel? What do you need to hear? That depends on the condition of your heart. If you think you are living such a good life that God owes you something, well, then you need to hear the law again. But if you think that you are far below the level of God's expectations for your life, and that he has every right to deny you any good, then you need to hear the gospel, the good news of God's love and his forgiveness for Jesus' sake. Now, knowing when to apply the words of the law and the words of the gospel, it's one of the most important things about caring for the spiritual needs of others. And Jesus shows that it doesn't follow popular opinion, but it makes all the difference in caring for souls. So fathers, especially today, that's why I say to you, this is important. Because if you live in a family, God has placed some people under your spiritual care, and he expects you to watch over their spiritual needs. So the law and the gospel, you need to become an expert in applying that. And you do that simply by, as we've done today, looking at God's word, seeing how God speaks it and who he speaks it to, those words of forgiveness or the words of law, and applying that in your own situation. We need dads and we need single moms who know the difference and can apply it to their children's lives at the right time. And you know what? It provides an alternative ending for all those who take it to heart. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts to life everlasting. Amen.